Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful summer day. And here we're back for another season of Baseball Talk, start of our second season. There's Steve Fitzsimmons, there's myself, Andy Clark, and of course, oh, not of course, but today we have a studio guest here with us. We have Chris Kurz, the owner of the Listowel Legionnaires.
Yeah, it should be a good show, fellas. And I mean, there's certainly lots going on in the baseball world. We'll talk about the Blue Jays and some of that other stuff. But Chris, you're the owner of the Listowel Legionnaires. And tell us a bit about how you became involved with that.
Got involved with the team a few years ago, and things progressed with the league side of things. And I expressed some interest in taking over the operation, and it went over really well with the league to have a private owner come in and take over the Listowel franchise. We've had a lot of fun. We've really grown baseball in Listowel, really very involved with Listowel minor ball and trying to host tournaments every year and bring people to Listowel to help the business side of the town, just some economic growth as well.
And, you know, there's also the charity side with having fundraising, that kind of thing. And I know we talked off air briefly, and you were mentioning about some very successful fundraisers that you guys undertake as well.
That's right, Steve. We do a cystic fibrosis game annually, as well as a breast cancer game. Our CF game this year went over very well, raised a lot of money, raised about $1,500 for CF. And for a small community, we find that's
really good.
Really good. And we have a breast cancer event coming up on the 28th of this month. We have a doubleheader. Our two Listowel teams versus the Kincardine Cubs, a very strong team, I believe the two-time defending champions of the league. So we're going to raise some money for breast cancer that night and hoping a nice crowd will come out and get some good weather and have a good ball game.
Okay, so just to get into the background of the Listowel Legionnaires a little bit, so you took over ownership, and we know in this area there was a long history of senior baseball, and then it kind of faded out for a while, and then in spots it came back there. For instance, you just mentioned the Kincardine Cubs. They made a bit of a resurgence there. I couldn't tell exactly when. We had a few people on, like Jay Bell and such last year, talked about it, and Ryan Enright.
Very successful lately, actually.
Yeah.
Kincardine's very strong, yeah.
Yeah.
They nucleus of players there.
They had mentioned on their way back there, I think they won a C level, a B level, and then an A level all in successive years. They kept getting promoted. So, yeah, what is the background with Listowel as far as history-wise?
Very interesting history. Thanks for asking, Andy. The team actually started in the late 1940s. So
oh, wow.
There's quite a rich history if you walk around Listowel and ask around some of the baseball people there. Kind of went through some phases, as you know, like anything, it gets really popular, and then if the team isn't strong, it kind of phases out a little bit. Listowel was in the Intercounty League, which is a very well-known historical baseball league around here. They produced some great players over the years, some guys that went on to major league tryouts, that kind of thing. Back in the day, I'm told they would get, you know, 700-800 people to a ball game, and that's wow. When the population of Listowel was about 4,000. So it was just a thing to do. They would host dances on a Friday night after the ball game, and the whole community just supported it. We're hoping to do the same thing with the current operation. We're hoping it will grow. We don't charge admission to get in. It's just the sponsors and my own business pay for the fees for the team to be in the league and the expenses of it. And our support is great. The community loves it. Really, it's grown leaps and bounds the last few years just with promotion and marketing. And our team's been fairly strong. We've been in the upper half of the league since we took over, and that always helps if you're winning. Everybody loves a winner, right?
So if our listeners and viewers want to catch a Listowel Legionnaires game, what field do you play out of?
It's called the John Bell South Diamond. It's located directly in front of the Listowel Memorial Arena, which is now the former arena in Listowel. Not sure how many hockey people are around here, but we have a new arena in Listowel. We play the Hanover Honda Hitmen from locally here. Kincardine and Mitchell would be the next closest proximity for what I'm thinking your viewership or your listening base is from. So.
And when you play in Hanover, is it still the raceway they play at?
Yeah, and Hanover's done amazing things. Really excited about what they have going on here. They had some funding come in, I believe, the Blue Jays, Jays Care Foundation, to do some diamond upgrades.
Yeah, they won $25,000 from the Jays to do those upgrades.
That's awesome. It's great that the Jays are so involved with baseball throughout Canada and doing things like that. And a gentleman by the name of Peter Kritz has got involved with Hanover and really just taken over, and they're a great bunch of guys to work with from the league side, and the players are all young guys, so they're going to be a force for a while, in my opinion.
Well, I know Peter very well, having worked with him with Hanover Minor Hockey, and He's extremely great at organizing and commandeering resources. So I'm not surprised that there's a big turnaround with baseball here in Hanover with Peter, at the helm of that organization. So it's good to see. And I know he did spearhead that grant as well. So congrats to him on that. Chris, in terms of the league, is it a real collaborative effort on the part of teams kind of working together as opposed to you doing your thing and others doing their thing?
It's a good combination, Steve. Great question. We have league meetings in the winter months, obviously, because that's not baseball season, so it's easy to get together then. We have a great league constitution that sets forth the rules, and then the teams are free to market themselves as they please, whether it's for players, sponsors, fans, anything of that nature. So, yeah.
So as far as rules go, you're talking about sitting around as part of those meetings making the rules. How do yours vary from MLB, or is it pretty much exact?
A lot of them are very similar, and then we follow Ontario Baseball Association rules for tiebreakers and things like that in tournaments. So it's a lot of it was set out for us, and it's easy to follow, and then it's just simple to go into the tournament knowing what you're facing and that everyone's going to be happy with how it all plays out, so to speak.
Chris, you referenced just briefly about commandeering players. Is it more a regional thing that, obviously players that live close to Listowel play for Listowel, or are there cases where somebody from a little further afield would play for Listowel and or for Hanover, for instance?
Sure, certainly it's open to both, Steve. There's no restrictions. I know a lot of the junior hockey, you get X number of imports, as they say. We don't have anything like that in our league. We, with the Listowel franchises, we definitely try to promote local players because that's what's going to help bring out the fans. We're certainly not in a position where we're paying any players to come in and play from, say, Kitchener, Waterloo, Owen Sound, Toronto, right, Anything of that nature. And the other thing is, all these guys, they all got to go to work the next day. So they don't want to be commuting from Kitchener, Toronto to play ball in Listowel on a Friday night or on a Wednesday and wherever the game might be. Some of the London teams, we have a couple teams down there, and Lucan and St. Thomas, they struggle with recruiting players because there's so many teams down there. There's other leagues down there as well. They've got higher caliber leagues. They've got more travel leagues in that area. So those teams, a little bit tougher for them to recruit players and get them in. It's more if they have a buddy on the team that they'll, if Steve's pitching and Andy's a catcher, he brings them out, and that's kind of how they recruited up there. But like for Hanover, Kincardine, Listowel, Mitchell, it's, buddies you went to high school with are recruiting you to come out and play ball.
On the high end side of the best players in this league, do you compete with the Intercounty League at all for players at all? Like, would a bottom level Intercounty League player maybe be a top level player of this league?
Definitely. With our Listowel team, our catcher from last year, a young man named Reese Reading from Listowel, he's playing with the Kitchener Panthers this year. He's having a great season. Started as the backup. Still the backup catcher at this point, but he's really worked his way into getting some regular time behind the plate in at-bats. There's a couple players in our league, young guy by the name of Cobean up in Kincardine, he could play in that league for sure. And don't get me wrong, I'm no baseball expert when it comes to that, but you can see talent like that. Jackson Martin from Listowel, same idea. If anybody was coming to watch that's from that league, those would be the guys they're talking to.
Looking at, like last year, we had a few guests from the Intercounty Baseball League. And we also had a few players from both Hanover Senior and Kincardine. Jay Bell, for instance, with his pedigree, he was a top-line NCAA pitcher at one point, and he certainly would be a guy that would have been able to play in the Intercounty League if he wanted to.
Sure.
But geography probably was a bit prohibitive for that. And we had Ryan Enright on, a Hanover guy that plays for the Kincardine Cubs, but he played Division II baseball, I believe. So
get some. Do you have a sprinkling of anything like that on your baseball team? Guys that maybe have played?
A couple guys. Jackson played some college ball. As I said, he was at Eastern Michigan for four years.
For him.
So there's guys that. We have a lot of interest. We had some interest this off season from some guys that have played some college ball, and we're just looking for a place to play for a couple months. We didn't jump on that with Listowel just because they couldn't commit the full season. Their school season starts usually mid-August, and that's when our MOSBL league tournament is. So we didn't think it was fair to the homegrown guys to bring some players in, certainly to better the end product, but then those guys weren't going to be around for the league tournament either. So
makes it difficult to recruit when, you know you're getting bumped aside by guys maybe that are better players than you but aren't committed for the whole, you know, season. And then you have to come back to the guys to replace them. I totally get that decision. I think that was a great decision on your part.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Well, when we went into it, I have some experience with senior hockey. And the old expression, it is what it is, right? All these guys work. If guys show up and they don't get to play, their interest in coming around and being a cheerleader is really only relevant in the playoffs. They're not going to be around for regular season games. So in our senior league, we find that, you know, when we host a game in Listowel on a Friday night, it'd be 10, 11 players coming up from London, St. Thomas, Kincardine, and they're not bringing 18 guys with a whole, you know, full bullpen ready to jump in at any point in time, and they're going to just throw a lefty in to face one guy. That doesn't happen in our league. Who knows where it's going? Baseball's really growing here in Southern Ontario. 10 years from now, it could be a whole different story. Maybe every team's got a 25-man roster. So I would love to see that. I think that'd be great.
From a growth potential standpoint, you don't charge for admission. Do you see a day when, you know, you might do that, and when the league becomes, you know, of that level of popularity that people would pay for it?
As a fan, I would pay for it. I think it's good ball. I was down at the Panthers game down in Kitchener on Sunday. It was $10, and I'm sitting there saying, that's a great deal. It's some great baseball, some great players. Nice park down there, Jack Couch Park, by the Kitchener Auditorium there. I don't know. It's tough to say. As the baseball community grows, as fans grow, I think that could definitely be an option. A lot of it will come down to the Blue Jays. I know when the Jays made the playoffs 2 years in a row, but the first year, Waterloo Minor Baseball had a spike of like 300 mm-hmm. kids sign up that next season. So if the Blue Jays are winning, baseball's the in thing. Same with hockey. When the Leafs, you know, Leafs have been strong the last couple of years, been in the playoffs, minor hockey registrations are going up too. So could we see a day that it's, you know, $10 admission to a Listowel Legionnaires game? Maybe. Personally, I really hope that doesn't happen. I like that it's free for fans to come out, and it's just a gathering place. And one of the things we do with the Listowel franchises is we're big supporters of Listowel Legion. It's piggybacked beside our ballpark. They serve alcohol there, and we don't ask for a take of that. You know, you go to any hockey game where there's a Blue Line Club, the team's getting whatever it is,
all
50 cents a drink, a dollar a drink, all the whole thing. If mm-hmm. they man it, whatever, everybody's got different arrangements. We don't ask for that. We want to see our Legion do well. And if it means that there's no budget then to buy jerseys every year, that's fine. We'll use the same jerseys the second year. Or if that means there's no budget to pay players, that's not what we're trying to do either. So if we can offer it for free, it's only going to grow, and that's kind of our goal. We want to have a really unique small-town baseball atmosphere in Listowel. I'm hoping it'll be growing and growing for years to come.
So to cover your expenses then, what is your inflow? Where do you sell merchandise?
We do that as well, yeah. Andy. It's just for kicks. Like, I like having the new era fitted hats. It's a, you know, if you're wearing the same hats the Jays are, kids are coming into our shop asking for them. So we do sell merchandise. We're very blessed in Listowel to have many sponsors. There's a lot of people that were really behind getting this going with Listowel and getting it strong again. So we've got lots of advertising opportunities for sponsors. And it's like, again, I'm sure the same thing in Hanover. If Steve owns a business and his neighbor Andy's playing on the team, hey, Andy, is there anything I can do to help out your team? You know, give your team $500 to buy some baseball, something like that. So that's just one of the nice things about small towns.
Totally agree. It's very much like this small town as well. Let's talk about some of the synergies. I know you own a gym in Listowel as well, and it immediately comes to mind that there's a synergy there with, you know, having your guys in tip-top shape and being able to use that facility. Maybe talk to us about that a little bit.
That's a unique thing to our team in Listowel that I happen to have be the stakeholder in the gym. This is still senior ball, guys. Those guys are still looking forward to a couple cold beers after the game. It's not...
Well, you can help them wear it off anyway.
Yeah. So we do team workouts at our facility in Listowel. It's not mandatory, but we do get some guys coming out that are focused on baseball-specific workouts. And obviously a lot of baseball-specific stuff translates over into hockey or golf or some of the other stuff these guys are doing as well. So, again, they're all working full-time. They're coming to the gym. A lot of them have families. Some of them are balancing shift work, so it's certainly not a, you know, OHL hockey level where everybody's working out at this time of day and then practices this time of day. It's a senior league.
A little more casual.
I think a lot of people kind of, certainly from the hockey, Hanover's a big hockey area, right? Durham's got a great senior hockey thing going. People understand kind of what the expectation is of, if you wanted to be a player on the team, that you're going to know, okay, I got to be pretty good. I got to be fairly committed. I don't need to be a rock star athlete. So,
right.
Now, do you want to get a plug in for your gym there, since you drove all the way here to be on our show?
So no, honestly, Andy, I'm not that kind of guy.
Oh, okay.
If you're interested, just Google gyms in Listowel, and it's by far the best one. I will say that. I'm pretty biased, but no, I'm not here to float. And
your idea.
Gym, well, it's called DynaFit, so we'll just mention that for you.
Thanks,
you know what? I did want to talk to you about an initiative that you've just undertaken this year that really leads into player development down the line. You've started a junior team that will eventually flow some players into your senior organization.
For sure.
Tell us about how that came about and how they're succeeding so far.
Well, I didn't want to boast about my business, but I will boast about Listowel Minor Ball. We're very proud in our community to really be a strong baseball town. Last year, we had 5 provincial championships in minor ball and our senior
team. That's amazing.
So that's, tip your hat to the organizers, the volunteers, the coaches, the players themselves, the parents. Just awesome. Like, I'm honestly getting goosebumps just talking about it. It was pretty cool. What happened with the junior, how it came about, Steve, the midget team was a provincial champion, and they had 8 players who were graduating age-wise, so they couldn't play midget here in 2018. So the coach and I of the midget team, his son was one of them that would be graduating. We got chatting one day and said, do you have room for 8 players on your senior Legionnaires team? And I said, well, no, we 3-4 strong Ontario championship players, for sure we can mix them in and have them try out and maybe bump a starter off the senior team, and then they're in there, right? But 8 players we felt was too many. So we started having conversations with these young men that were graduating from the midget program. Hey, have you got a buddy or two that you go to school with or something like that that might want to get a junior team going? And there was certainly a lot of interest. So we met around Christmas time and had these conversations. We started talking about junior leagues and where we could play. And I guess the issue with that from our perspective is a lot of that would be a lot more travel than per se our senior league. Our senior league, Kincardine to Ingersoll is certainly a long haul, but here with us in Listowel and Hanover, we're kind of central and, we're looking at an hour and 20-minute drive to our furthest game. A lot of the junior leagues were, you're going to Brampton on a Wednesday night from Listowel and for a 7 o'clock game. Our guys didn't want to do that. So we approached the managers, the executive of the senior league that our senior Legionnaires were in. We know we can field a pretty strong team, guys. What do you think about having a junior age team in the league? And they would just go play their own junior tournaments, and the league was very supportive. It was overwhelming, actually. It was really awesome to see that our competing teams with the seniors were more than happy to have another Listowel entry. And we kind of told them, I told them I was going to be involved with both, and we're going to try and do the same thing, have fundraising games, have the beer gardens going at the Legion, and everyone in our league really likes coming to Listowel to play. We have a beautiful diamond there, great backdrop with the Legion, and all the visiting guys tell us they love getting chirped by the drunks in the Legion. It's a it's a unique thing. That
sounds like specific. A Letterkenny episode or something.
I got to put a little plug in for the Letterkenny guys. They're big supporters of our Legionnaires teams. Wayne, Jared Kiso, is a good lifelong friend of mine, and he promotes us on social media and in his
good for him.
In his acts whenever he can. He likes it. His grandfather, Harold, played for the Legionnaires. So
cool.
There's he was a manager as well. Later on, so
Jared was a guest of ours on Hockey Talk in our second season there, but by phone. He wasn't in studio, but I believe he was driving around with his dog when he was talking to us on the
Jared
phone.
Jared could host that show and just roll with it on
he
his
certainly
own.
Could
he's awesome.
A great
guy.
Interview
it's really put speaking of Jared Kiso, I mean, it's really obviously from this area, we're familiar with Listowel, but I mean, on an international scale, it's really brought the focus about Listowel and what kind of town it is.
Yeah, it's a wonderful little town. I'm lucky enough to call it home. I have most of my life. My family moved there when I was 4 years old. And Jared played junior B hockey in Listowel. Obviously grew up there, went to high school there for the first couple of years until he moved away for hockey. So he's as listable as they come, and he's happy to tell you that Listable will always be home, even though his acting career has taken him abroad with throughout Canada, really. And he does a lot of things for Listable still, even though with how busy he is, he organized a Letterkenny live event at our new arena as a fundraiser for it. And it was unbelievable, the economic spinoff that that had for the town. I know I was chatting with a manager at Krabby Joe's, local restaurant in town. It was the busiest night they ever had, just having the Letterkenny crew, and their fans traveled from, I don't want to say far and wide, but certainly some of them up to 2 hours away.
Yeah, Toronto type of thing.
Yeah, they, a lot of them wanted to see the Letterkenny act in the original town that it's based off of. So the people that are from Listowel, people like I went to high school with, Jared, his family, we're proud Letterkennians, and any chance we get to boast about it, we do. So I'm sure that's the same here in Hanover. I'm sure people that grew up here and played minor hockey here and had, maybe their parents had Barron season tickets growing up, you know, it's just the same. And that's what's kind of neat about small town Ontario, is people are so proud, and, you know, people are so proud sometimes of their hockey, you know, the chirping and the banter, and sometimes the fist fights that break out when you go to a senior hockey game between Mapleton 81s and the Durham Thundercats. It's almost comical, and now it's on TV, right? So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's more fun when you see it on TV than otherwise there, yeah.
Than in your own arena.
In your own arena, yeah. Well, certainly I know if you go back into the history we were talking about, historically where senior baseball was huge. I know in the pre-war years, I'm going way back, but if you look at some of the Hanover history, they talk about the sport was baseball. And in fact, a lot of people said actually had a bigger status. If you go back to the pre-war years, it was actually bigger than hockey, for the big reason that, you know, that was pre-TV. And the hockey season was limited by weather because it was all outdoor arenas that were, so the baseball season was much longer and way more people played it. So they said that was kind of the culture of the small towns was baseball, was for
baseball
a long
specific
time.
Yeah.
Not to mention the lack of competition for your entertainment dollar, unlike today where you can almost do pretty well anything.
When I speak to seniors in our community in Listowel, they speak of just that, Steve. They're saying there was 700-800 fans at every Legionnaires game because, as they say, there was nothing else to do. They knew there was a dance after, and it was the event every Friday night all summer long.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people have a tremendous memory of those times, you know, and you talk to older folks that it was a simpler time for sure, but it was an entertaining time too.
Definitely. Baseball is such a... it's such a different game than hockey. It's so slow by design. You can use a reference. It's like a chess match, and that's what I love about it. The coaching that's involved in strategic play of, you know, when to lay down a bunt and when to bring in a left-handed pitcher. Hockey is so fast. It's such a read and react sport that no wonder so many people enjoy watching it on TV nowadays and going to games live. But baseball has always had a place in people's hearts, and I love going to the ballpark, whether it's in Listowel, and I travel to a lot of minor league games in the U.S. just for kicks. I really enjoy the entertainment value, and the bang for your buck is unmatched. Some of the ballparks down there, they're really getting unique with even the minor league parks. They're building them as downsized MLB parks. It's pretty neat. But when you see fathers pointing at things in the stadium to their sons, and the kids, the look on their face as they're learning about the game, I don't see that when I go to rinks. When I go to a lot of hockey games too. I've got some buddies playing in the OHL, some clients that I've trained, stuff like that. You don't see a father pulling the kid aside and saying, you know, look at this. He's going to, you know, like in baseball, you're going to bunt the guy over, and he tries to explain it to his son or daughter, I should say. It's such a neat family game. Everybody I know in Listowel goes down to Toronto at least once every summer to catch a Jays game, right? It's the thing to do, and it's a great experience, great entertainment value.
Let's talk about the trickle-down value of the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, you referenced it earlier, the fact that when they're succeeding, baseball just in general in Canada and in Ontario succeeds, and when they're struggling, you know, there's just not the growth that you would normally see from when they're succeeding. And as you said, we did see that a number of years ago when they had that couple-year magical run, not quite getting to the World Series, but really kind of reigniting the love of baseball, certainly in Ontario and maybe even in Canada.
What I think you'll see, Steve, just as the business side of me, you look at when Canada hosted the Olympic Games in Vancouver and the money that the government put into facilities, coaching, getting these elite level athletes to not have to work 9 to 5 so they can just train and sleep and, you know, work out and do the things they need to do to get better or get faster for whatever their sport is. I think you're going to see that in baseball too. I think you're going to see someone get in there and get into office that watches the World Baseball Classic and sees that Canada can't compete with the U.S. and the Dominicans and the Cubans and all these other great baseball nations. Here in Canada, we've got the population and we've got the resources. So I think you're going to see a push. The World Cup soccer is coming to North America between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. You're going to see the Ontario government and the Canadian government pumping money in to get more kids playing soccer so that that's a bigger event and a bigger economic draw for the countries as well. So certainly, I mentioned it earlier that, like, in Listowel, when our team's winning, we get more fans. It's going to be the same. When the Blue Jays are winning, more people are attending the games. It wasn't that long ago, 5-6 seasons, you know, if the Tampa Bay Devil Rays were in town in at the Rogers Center on a Wednesday night, we were getting 11, 12,000 people. Fast forward a couple years, the Devil Rays, who are an AL East counterpart of the Jays, now you're drawing 35,000. Yankees and Red Sox are in town. They're selling the place out at what I think it's about 45,000 people that they get in there, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think you're going to see the same thing trickle down into minor ball, that when the Canadian government starts really spearheading baseball and soccer, because it's going to happen, you're going to see more players.
I hope so. I've been involved in a lot of youth sports and a lot of through different capacities. And I know Ron Pegg was on our show last year, and he was our first guest. And he had mentioned how with the growth of baseball, there's a lot of communities don't have enough facilities, and there's a real shortage, and that's a real hampering a lot of places. But I do also know that in the culture of government, that's something that's really become really pervasive, that the person on the street doesn't necessarily appreciate, is that funding for grassroots sports has just really diminished in a lot of areas. Like, if I look through the lens particularly of school, compared to when I went to school in the 80s, the amount of dollars that's being put into athletics for kids is just tiny. And that's part of their mindset is, well, you know what, let private industry take care of facilities. Why should government be paying for all of that stuff? And it's kind of a shame, because, you know, it's such a great thing for kids if they have those facilities, if they can go down the street and have those, you know, areas where they can play baseball or shoot hoops or play tennis for free. But there's definitely a mind of saying, okay, we need to leave that to private industry, and it's easier for us if we don't have to manage that, right? So I do hope it trickles down, because I think the interest is there. It's just, maybe I think average Joe public needs to talk to their politicians and say, you know what, these grassroots sports do matter to us, and we need to loosen up some dollars.
Sure.
Completely agree, but we have to take a break. Great conversation going on with Chris Kurtz of the Listowel Legionnaires. We'll take a break right here on Baseball Talk.
Holman Motors is now your destination for pre-owned trucks. They've got lots of late model trucks in stock to satisfy your needs, and plan on stocking a solid quantity of trucks on a regular basis. Even if you happen to be looking for something they don't have in stock, their access to a huge inventory of trucks ensures they can get what you need. If they don't have it, they'll get it for you. It's all happening at Holman Motors Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, across from the racetrack in Hanover, and at holmanmotors.com.
Hanover's biggest block party is dedicated to making sure you have the best summer ever. Aldersley Securities and Eastlink bring you Hanover Sights and Sounds Festival, July 26th to 29th. Kick things off with Kids Night at the Drive-In Thursday. Enjoy the free family swim and paint night Friday evening. There's also a kids talent contest, Kids Zone, yoga, and Kangaroo in the Park, and the list goes on. Join us for a day or the entire weekend. Visit sights-sounds.ca for more details. Atmosphere is Hanover's premier magazine for all things community, featuring photography, events, and articles written by local experts, plus the completely redesigned Hanover Parks, Recreation, and Culture Guide. You'll find it in your mailbox or check out the online version at atmospherehanover.com.
Bruce County Combat and Fitness in Walkerton offers recreational and competitive kickboxing, boxing, wrestling, boot camps, yoga, and kids classes. They offer early morning, daytime, and evening classes to fit your schedule, as well as private lessons and birthday parties. Your first class is always free to try, and the low monthly membership fees get you access to unlimited classes, plus there are no contracts to sign. Check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or at their website, brucecountycombat.com, or give them a call at 519-507-4431.
Join us in Hanover this summer. We've got an experience for you. Enjoy live music, harness racing, and theater. Play the slots or family recreational activities. Tour our vibrant downtown featuring great shopping and events. Taste our locally brewed, handcrafted beer and the many dining options. This is just a snapshot of what awaits you. Join us. See Cuneo's Carpet One Floor and Home for all of your flooring projects. Check out Cuneo Interiors Carpet One Hanover.com. Discover more at Hanover.ca.
Thanks to those of you who were concerned about the quality of our air and did something about it. Thanks to all the volunteers and employees of corporations who don't have to work overtime, but do. Thanks to stations like this one who donate time to causes they believe in. Because Canadians care enough to plant trees, our communities can breathe a little easier. Help Tree Canada. Grow clean air. Support Tree Canada by visiting us at treecanada.ca. Trees do their part. Let's do ours. Sports.
We know our stuff. Baseball Talk is brought to you by Joy for Sports, 435 Durham Street East in Walkerton, for all your sports needs. Sports. We
know our stuff. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Baseball Talk on Blue Water Radio, 91.3 FM. You have me, Andy Clark. You have Steve Fitzsimmons. And in our studio, we have Chris Kurz, the owner of the Listowel Legionnaires senior and junior baseball teams.
We should mention we're on Whiteman TV, of course, as well. Our good friends there. But
And actually, you know what? As you bring that up, I meant to say before the break there, too, is we're talking about synergies.
Yes.
And there's another one, too, because Whiteman TV is also broadcasting several Listowel Legionnaire games this year. I believe two or three have already gone to air.
Two have already happened, yeah.
Two already. And how many in total?
One more game coming up.
So you can catch those. I believe it's on Channel 6 on Whiteman. If you have Whiteman cable, you can enjoy some senior baseball on your TV screen. And we're going to kick into now. The next thing we have up here is our next edition of Clark Guys.
The Clark Guys. Yes. Yeah.
And so this one, I went a little farther afield here. I went to Shawville, Quebec, which isn't too far away for those of you that are whitewater rafting fans. Some people like to give that a try, which is near Renfrew. So this is in that area. It's near Renfrew, Ontario. It's on the Ottawa River, Lac Chat. And it's from the newspaper called The Equity. And for our TV viewers, that'll be up on the screen. I'm just reading it out loud for our Blue Water Radio listeners so they get to enjoy it. So it's from The Equity in Shawville, Quebec. And we're going all the way back to June 2nd of 1960. And the headline that we're looking at here says, Shawville takes top spot in the UOV Baseball League, which was the Upper Ottawa Valley Baseball League. And so the noteworthy thing in this, if you want to read it in total, it's posted on my Twitter feed, at Gray County Guy. You can check it out there and read it in all the detail you want. But one of the interesting things I gleaned out of this was the right-handed pitcher in this game was Brian Murray.
The Brian Murray.
Brian Murray, who actually passed away, sadly, of cancer last year. But that was a big news story around this time last year, was they had a huge funeral for him where all of the top dogs and famed people through hockey history showed up in Shawville, Quebec for his funeral. But this goes back to when he was an 18-year-old, and apparently he was quite a hot dog, but he was quite a good right-handed pitcher. In this particular game, he had scattered seven hits, had six KOs, no walks, and his catcher was a guy by the name of Paddy O'Donnell. So must have been Dutch or
good
something.
Good Irish name.
Yeah,
yeah.
And yeah, so you can read the details in there. An interesting game between them in a place called Sheensboro. And another name I saw in there was Richardson, was another player for the Shawville team. And I know that's probably a father or an uncle of another NHLer.
Luke Richardson.
Luke Richardson, who was also from that Shawville area. So I guess that segues for us from looking at the headline of Brian Murray playing baseball in Shawville, that there always has been that real relationship for a lot of hockey players between hockey and baseball.
There has, and let me bring up another one, and I know this is baseball talk, but this is pretty momentous for Hanover. I just wanted to mention that Hanover actually has a Canadian champion in Canadian junior kiteboarding, and that being 17-year-old Seamus Finley, who won that title this week. And Seamus was actually competing in his very first event having been a kiteboarder for a couple of years, had some training with famed Canadian champion from Oliphant, Sam Medisky, but he hadn't competed in any events. So he walks into the Canadian Championship and he wins the thing. And then he goes into the international division with all of the top people from all over the world and comes third in his first ever event. So congratulations to Seamus Finley, a pretty momentous debut, I would say, and good things ahead for him. And of course, a graduate of Hanover Minor Hockey as well.
And certainly, yeah, I think mom and dad are Shane and Lisa Finley.
They are indeed.
Well-known family around the Hanover area. So there you go. You're talking about pumping up Listowel, and we're doing our thing that we love to do where we pump up the Hanover area there. So fantastic.
All right. Well, let's segue back to talking about baseball a little bit. And, you know, one thing that we found in talking to a number of guests last year, especially guests that, you know, it comes to mind, Rob Ducey was a guest last year, and he talked about this extensively, was the fact that, you know, Canadian players, they're really on a different level with weather than their U.S. counterparts. And it's something that, you know, they have to look for opportunities by going to the U.S. perhaps to play baseball 365 days a year. Or they just don't play baseball 365 days a year, which puts them, you know, a step behind their U.S. counterparts. And I just wonder, you know, obviously you have some players that have played U.S. college and that kind of thing. And I mean, just your thoughts on that.
You're certainly right, Steve. It's growing immensely. More and more indoor facilities are popping up here in Canada. I know Listowel area ball players go down to Play Ball Academy in Kitchener, right, or the Pinnacle Fieldhouse in Stratford, get some indoor training in. A lot of them are, you know, they're in the middle of hockey playoffs, and yet their mom and dad are throwing the car, or if they're a kid, obviously, or if they're on their own, and getting some reps in to get ready for the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly very competitive in that sense, and I guess that plays in, you know, well for, I mean, we see that those training facilities extensively in hockey, but we are seeing it popping up even more so in baseball now as well.
For sure. And golf's a big one as well. I know golf's growing that way as well, just for with the Canadian climate, guys want to hit golf balls all the time, whether it's the indoor simulators or the golf domes.
I always wondered, total side thought, but for entrepreneurial opportunities for people, I always wondered if batting cages would be a business that would fly.
It's a good question, areas. You know.
Because the season is limited time-wise that way, but once you have it up and running, how much is the
You're talking an indoor one, you mean? Or
Indoor or outdoor, because we know for like where we live, right, one thing we have is space.
Right.
But you're limited then by your season. But yeah, indoor batting cages could be year-round. So I just wonder how much of a market would be out there for something like that.
It's a really good question. I don't have any real sense of it, but you would have to think there'd be, you know, a certain level of demographic that would be into that. And certainly the athletes, you know, not having to travel, maybe if it was close by, they might do it.
Because you'd have your like hardcore baseball fans, but it could also be a casual, like fun, entertaining thing.
Yeah, it could be like a family type of thing. And I know in Guelph, they had something like that. It used to be called Pergola. That would maybe be the nearest one to this area. But yeah, it's an interesting business idea.
There you go. So if anyone's out there with some...
want to invest some money, talk to Andy Clark. Yeah, he's going to get that off the ground with you.
I'm not saying I'll throw any money into it other than maybe, you know, a few loonies in and take a few cuts myself. But I hope it works out for you if you go after it there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Guys, why don't we talk a little Toronto Blue Jays? And I'm sure, you know, a lot of things have happened to this team. I mean, they're 42-46, but... I mean, when you look at some of the things that have happened to them,
you're using a pun
it's
there.
Not, it's happen, not, happen. Yeah, yeah, happens probably getting shipped out of town before long. But I mean, you know, like just circumstances, you know, starting with, you know, their best relief pitcher, you know, obviously having court issues and not being able to play and being suspended. And
Donaldson,
I mean, Donaldson not being able to play due to injury.
Okay, and I need to
and
get
some
your,
of their pitchers, yeah, you know, just not playing up to their capabilities and or being hurt.
I need to get you guys' opinion on the Donaldson thing, because all I right. saw an interview with him 3 weeks ago. And they were basically saying, what's the status? And he said, well, I'm 100% with everything except for a little bit of discomfort in the calf running the bases. And I don't want to come back till I'm 100%. So that was 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And, yeah, so he said 100% with everything but a little discomfort running the bases. So it's a little discomfort that's dragged on for 3 more weeks. Have I missed the boat? Like, did he get hit by a car?
I think he tweaked something like, in the meantime.
Well, the calf and the Achilles are a tough area to heal from.
Certainly the Achilles are, but yeah, I guess I'm looking at it through a hockey lens where I'm like, if you have slight discomfort in your calf,
suck it up.
And you're off for, like, what is he off now, 6 weeks now? And I was like saying to some people, come on, like,
It's totally damaged the Toronto Blue Jays in terms of, you know, their expectation was to be able to trade him. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. And if they were in this position, which is not contending really, or on the periphery of it, if they don't win 10 games in a row or very soon, that they were going to be able to trade him for something significant for their future. But really, with the limited amount he's played and that he hasn't played all that particularly well when he has played, you know, a .244 average, 5 home runs, 16 runs batted in 36 games, which equates to like 75 runs batted in over an entire season, like the market isn't going to be really big for him in any kind of significant asset way, I wouldn't think, Chris.
I agree. You'll have a big money team take a chance on him. Because the talent's there is what I think. You'll see a Yankees or a Red Sox.
But they're not going to get a blue chipper for that player
sure.
Right now.
Toronto's got to realize what they're going to get in return, and it won't be a top asset. I think that, you know, the writing's on the wall in Toronto. You're going to, Hap's going to go. You got everything going on with Asuna that you mentioned, Steve. Mm-hmm. The easy one is just to bring Vladdy and. We'll bring Vladdy up.
Bichette.
Bring them up. I think Vladdy just got called up to the Bisons, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he did.
He comes back from
injury. Well, he was hitting like .380 or something.
Yeah, unreal. Actually, I met him down in what's the name of that?
Was it Buffalo or he's playing Double A. He's playing Double A. Sorry,
the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, where Tim Tebow is playing.
Okay,
I met Vladdy down there. And it was pretty.
That's
wild
quite
story,
the baseball name.
Yeah, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. But I think you're going to see Vladdy's going to come up. Bichette's going to come up after the AAA season ends. And then Gibbons is going to get fired, and it's, you know, the bosses in charge of Toronto are going to have all the answers to say, yep, keep us around, because it's Donaldson's fault, it's Asuna's fault, it's Gibbons' fault, right? So based on past happenings, it's looking like that's what's going to happen.
Why have so many bats gone so quiet for the Jays this year? Like, and obviously Russell Martin is a big one to look at there.
That's a really interesting question, and I don't know the answer really. To be quite frank with you, but I mean, I think with him, he plays a difficult position where he's played it extraordinarily well for a lot of years, and I think, you know, the wear and tear on him has been, you know, he was an exceedingly athletic catcher for a long time, and stealing bases and doing what he does, you know, almost a five-tool player. And I don't know, Chris, I mean, I just feel like Father Time's maybe catching up with him, and just the wear and tear on his body playing at a high level for so long.
For so long, so many games. Also, the demands on him to work with the staff. That's what all the Jays insiders talk about, is how good he is with the pitching staff and the younger players on the team. They moved him around a little bit. He was at third base. He was in left field.
I'm no pro athlete, but that
definitely plays on you mentality. You don't know if you're catching or playing left field day in and day out. Again, you got Donaldson down, another leader on the team. So how much more pressure was put on, you know, onto Russell Martin's plate to look after during those tough times?
Well, and we expected this, or at least I did, that we would see a step back from the tremendous season that Justin Smoak had last year. It was you know, he was red hot, and you know, his season's not terrible. 8 home runs, 33 runs batted in, a .243 average. I mean, it's not great, but you know, where he was last year was a completely different stratosphere. And you know, he hasn't had the protection in the lineup maybe that he did have last year with Donaldson and Batista and those guys. And you know, I feel like that's part of the situation as well. And Devin Travis, another guy, I mean, he just hasn't really found his way either. And I mean, for him hitting .229 for a guy that, you know, flirted when he was healthy with .300 a lot in the last couple of years, but he's never healthy, and that's the issue with him.
Yeah. Sorry, I was seeing Smoak there, actually, I believe yesterday got his 13th homer there, 45. You're right, certainly not the pace he was on last year. Second on the team in RBIs with 46 now. But at least he's been solid, and he actually was a relatively cheap contract. So,
and he's still not terrible in baseball sort of perspective. You know, he's not making $30 million. I think he's making, what, maybe 10 or something?
Yeah.
And he deserved it after making three and hitting, you know, 35 through or 40 home runs and 110 RBIs or whatever those numbers were.
So I'm going to throw it out to you guys then. Like, for my mind, Smoke hasn't played as well as last year, but he's played fairly well.
He's been okay.
I railed last year that amongst several things, they needed to get a leadoff hitter. And I've been pretty satisfied with Granderson in that role. And I feel that Kevin Pillar has played pretty well because, you know, he's batting a bit better than he typically has in the past, too. Been a little more consistent at the plate. So what pieces do you guys see as being working right now?
I don't see a whole lot working.
I was going to say, you know what? There's a lot of things not working really great. You know what? I'll tell you one that I kind of like. And, you know, you can't, numbers wise, it's not quantifiable this year yet. But young Gurriel Jr., there's just something about the kid. You know, he looks like a ball player. He just, his mannerisms, you know, he's been raised in that, you know, that Cuban royalty of baseball lore. And I just feel like, you know, the kid's only 23. I feel like, you know, a couple years down the line, this is going to be a really good contributor to the Toronto Blue Jays. And he's kind of finding his way here. He's had flashes and moments where he's been successful. He hasn't quite put it all together. And maybe this is the kind of team to be on like that, because I think there's not a lot of pressure on him in that way. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to be in a couple years.
Definitely, I agree.
Probably what we should do is let's extend this conversation to pitchers. But okay, let's take our second recess first, and then we'll come on back and we'll talk what's working for the pitchers and what's not working for the pitchers.
Baseball Talk is brought to you by Joy for Sports, 435 Durham Street East in Walkerton, for all your sports needs.
When you step into Bath & Biscuit Dog Grooming Salon in Durham, you'll see why it's the place for passionate pet parents. Grooms include brush out, haircut from nose to tail, nail trimming, hydro surge bath that deep cleans your furry friends, blow dry and finishing spray. Private appointments, treats, experienced groomers, and a whole lot of love ensures that you've got the best looking dog on the block. Bath & Biscuit Dog Grooming Salon on Gareth Roxas Street North in Durham now also sells pet food and supplies. Visit them at bathandbiscuit.ca.
This is Lynn Fanstone from Century 21 Millennium. Real estate is not my job, it's my passion. And I love it. Thinking of buying or selling? I'll get you moving. Let me put my skill and experience to work for you. Whether you're upsizing, downsizing, smart sizing, or looking for commercial property, I'll get the job done. Check out Century 21 Lynn Fanstone, that's Lynn with an E, or like me on Facebook. Or you can call me anytime on 705-443-7247. Let's chat. Together, we can make it happen.
Here they come, sitting down at the breakfast table. There's cereal moving out from the front of the cupboard. And out of nowhere, there's spilt milk. What a breakfast it is today.
Catch the excitement at Hanover Raceway. Enjoy a day at the races with the entire family. Admission is always free. Plus, you can dine in their fully renovated restaurant, the Coach House. This Saturday is Pepsi Day at Hanover Raceway. Come try new products from Pepsi and enter to win up to $2,000 in prizes. Doors open at 6 p.m. Hanover Raceway, we bet you'll love it.
This is Taryn with the Hanover Sights and Sounds Festival. Are you looking to get involved in the community? In need of volunteer hours? We would love your help to make this year's festival the best one yet. If you would like to get involved, give me a call at 519-506-2474 or email cip@hanover.ca. For more details and a schedule of events, visit sights-sounds.ca.
Bruce and Gray counties are amazing places to live, but sometimes they can be difficult to get around and explore. That's where Soggy Mobility and Regional Transit comes in. Since 1977, they've specialized in public transit service to those with permanent or temporary mental and physical challenges within Bruce and Gray counties. Finally, you have the ability to stay mobile. Life can be challenging. Let Soggy Mobility help. To find out more about smart services in your area or to register, visit soggymobility.ca and they'll see you soon.
Tired of hard water wreaking havoc around your home? Dry skin and lifeless hair? Dull and dingy laundry? Sup scum and spotted glasses too?
Hey, Culligan man! A Culligan water softener turns hard water soft every time. Soft water is the answer. Not cleaning products or detergents. Culligan saves you up to 50% on soaps and detergents while turning your laundry, bathroom, and kitchen brilliant, like me. Hey, Culligan man!
At Source4Sports, we know our stuff.
Baseball Talk is brought to you by Joy for Sports, 435 Durham Street East in Walkerton, for all your sports needs.
At Source4Sports, we know our stuff.
So we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Another Baseball Talk here on Blue Water Radio, 91.3 FM and Whiteman TV. You can catch us Friday nights, 8 o'clock, right after some Hanover Raceway action on Whiteman TV, Channel 6. You have play-by-play guy Steve Fitzsimmons here, at Gray County guy Andy Clark, and we have as a guest in our studio the owner of the Listowel Legionnaires senior baseball team, Chris Kurz. And we're talking Blue Jays right now. We talked field players as far as what's working, not working, and now we're talking pitchers.
Yeah, let's talk some of the pitchers. And I mean, you know, Roberto Osuna, what a huge hole out of their lineup. I think that goes without saying. We know that. But I mean, when you look at some of the other guys that we thought were going to be workhorses in terms of, you know, having 10 wins right now type of thing, you know, aside from Jay Happ, he's the only one that's really anywhere near that. Estrada 4-7 with a 4.72 earn run average. Stroman, we know he's been hurt, but he's 2-6 with a 5.90 earn run average. Biagini, you know, 1-5, 6.18. We thought he might be a starter, and he's been only four starts in the bullpen, and he's been getting shelled quite a bit. And I mean, the main disappointment for me, I think, more than any of those guys, is Alex Sanchez. I thought that guy was going to be, you know, maybe a Cy Young contender down the line, a guy that was going to be 17, 18 wins to pencil in there. And he's, you know, he's not anywhere close to that. 3-5, a respectable 4.52 earn run average on this team. But that being said, that's still really just not where I thought he would be. I mean, Chris, I mean, there's just a lot of underachievers there.
I'll go back to the offseason, guys. I was sad when Jason Grilley didn't come back. And the fire that that guy brought to the mound for a third of an inning or whatever he was asked to do, the leadership that they spoke about, again, I'll go back to the Jays insiders that are in the know, and I'm certainly not that person, but the way they spoke about Grilley and Russell Martin and how they worked with these pitchers, the Sanchezes, the Osunas, those kind of guys. I've never been a Stroman fan until that guy takes that big necklace off and gets rid of it. And the quick pitching, none of that flies.
As a guy 5'7", I'm a bit of a fan. You know, like, I like that. You know, he's 5'8", and nobody thought he was going to make it this far because he's so not very tall. And good for him to do that.
Sure.
But we think he. But after seeing what he did for the first couple of years, we thought he'd be an elite pitcher, and he's not.
Yeah, for sure. Yep, you got Happ. He's going to go to the highest bidder real soon. I think he'll be one of the first people to move.
Yeah, I would
I don't think
so.
He's going to be a trade deadline day guy. I think a lot of people want to get that left-handed piece in there and see what he can do. Obviously, his record's great on roughly a 500 team, mediocre team this year, so that says a lot about the season Happ's having.
So I think there's some pieces in the bullpen that have been working out okay.
Yeah, Ryan Tepera's been really good.
Yeah. Now, he hasn't always looked 100% comfortable in the closing it out role as the fireman role. There's been a few games he's looked a little uncomfortable there, but his numbers overall are okay.
Clippard's been better as of late, too.
Clippard, yeah.
Yeah, he's been really good, too. Yeah.
And the Korean pitcher, has done quite well. An idea I'm just going to throw out there, though, is a Canadian kid. I believe he's from Port Hope, Ontario, Axford. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you go back, what, 6 years ago, 6-7 years ago, the guy had, like, what?
40 saves.
45 saves, and he won the Rolaids Relief Pitcher of the Year. And they haven't tried him at all in that saving role.
Do you think there's a reason they haven't? I mean, well, he has that track record, and I know he, you know, kind of went off the cliff and has come back to be a major league player again. But
yeah, he dropped off.
You'd wonder why he, you know, given that experience, why they wouldn't have at least tried it.
Well, they've certainly put him in there for, like, he's pitched 41.1 innings, 40 strikeouts. His ERA is a little high there, 4.14, but that's not out of line with a lot of people in their lineup right now.
Right.
To my mind, I'm like, you know, Tepera's done okay, but
Toronto reliever either in the ballpark that they play in, that seems.
Yeah, and he certainly has the mentality, he has the experience, it doesn't hurt for them to, you know, at least throw them in there. But I'm not sure why they're not.
A glimmer of possibility, I think, is Gaviglio. You know, he's looked good as a starter. You know, in 11 games, he's started 9 of them. He's 2-2 with a 3.81 ERA, and I think he's a guy that, you know, maybe has a future with the Blue Jays as, you know, a number 4, number 5 starter. If we can get some of the guys that were supposed to be the workhorses to kind of get back up to that elevated level that we kind of expected them to be at, and it just seems like all, you know, other than, you know, obviously Jay Happ, everybody have taken a step back in the same season, and it's kind of frustrating to watch.
Definitely, yeah. And how do you sum that up, right? If everyone's coming to the ballpark every day and playing well, that's contagious. Guys are working harder. They're worried their spot's going to get taken. And when you're at this point in the year and you're under 500, everybody's worried about who's getting moved out.
And where's the breakdown? I'm just wondering here, because there's so many pitchers that we had so many expectations for, and I don't think they were completely unreasonable or
I don't think they
out
were
of line with past. Yeah, so why is there such consistent underachieving here? Is it, do we look at the pitching coach? Do we look
well,
at,
I think they will be in the offseason for sure. I think there's going to be a bloodletting. I think Gibbons' job is up for grabs. I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone. And I know, Chris, you said that off air as well, that you feel like he could be on the move out of there. And I think you made a point that they're going to possibly bring up these two young studs that they have, you know. And I think Guerrero and Bichette probably deserve a look-see, at least in September, maybe sooner as well. And we'll see what happens. But, you know, guys, it really sums up the Toronto pitching when a position player leads them in ERA, Kendrys Morales with a 0 ERA after one game.
Yeah. And actually, you know, we were going back to the field players. He's another guy that's really disappointed for me behind the plate.
I thought he'd be a little bit better for sure.
When they signed him, there was a lot of buzz. He had a big season with Kansas City the year before, hit a lot of home runs, and he was arguably one of the best players available when they signed him, and there was the Toronto media was saying, hey, this is a good move.
He had a decent year last year, but
And who would have thunk it, guys? The Jose Bautista could be a trade acquisition at the deadline as actually a good piece to add to a team. He looked like he was pretty well washed up there 3 months ago, released and picked up, and here it is. He's actually contributing and actually probably is going to get a decent player for that team.
We're about 20 seconds out here, so.
Okay, well, Chris, I mean, it was great chatting with you, and when do the Listowel Legionnaires play?
Seniors are playing at home Friday night, juniors on Saturday, and then the seniors again Sunday afternoon. So lots of games in Listowel this weekend.
So there you go. Go support the Listowel Legionnaires, and that is another edition of Baseball Talk. We'll be back with more right here next week on Baseball Talk.